I used to watch a lot of Army movies as a kid. Loved to watch Gomer Pyle, USMC. And one of the things you will always see in an Army movie or a Marine movie that depicts boot camp, the sergeant, the drill sergeant, will always ask a question of the recruits. And they will say, "Sir, yes, sir." But it's never quite loud enough. And the drill sergeant always responds with what four words? "I can't hear you." And then they get a little louder, and again he'll say, "I can't hear you." Oh, and it's always funny to see. That's how Sergeant Carter and Gomer Pyle, they would have their back and forth. The sergeant was being clear as far as what he wants. When you answer, I want an answer that is clear. I want an answer that has commitment. I want an answer with enthusiasm. So let me hear the message. Give me a response. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I detect some of those same demands on my part when I pray. Sinfully, I detect those demands on my part. I'll ask for something, and either the answer is given so softly I can't discern it, or it's not the answer I want. Or at times, I don't get any answer at all. And in a way, I will say to God, "I can't hear you." Oh, I don't come out and say it like that because that would be so overtly sinful. But I'll say, "Come on, Lord. You're supposed to talk to me, aren't you? What's the problem? Where's the voice of God? I want clarity. I want commitment. I want enthusiasm, especially if you're going to say yes to exactly what I'm going for. Go ahead. Go, Mike. Go. 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 It's yours. Go for it." But I don't always get, see, what I really want is a genie, don't I? That's what I really want is a genie. But sometimes I'll pray and I'll say, "Well, I'm not getting a clear answer. How come I'm not getting a clear answer? How come sometimes I don't get an answer at all? And why am I not getting the answer I want? Where is the voice of God? Is God listening? Does God care?" And sometimes it gets to the point where I say, "Well, what's wrong with me? Am I not praying right? Is there something I don't understand? Is something wrong with my relationship with God?" Where is the voice of God? This morning, I think because a lot of us at times in our prayer lives will sit there and say, "I'm praying, but I'm not hearing anything." I think we need to look at two dynamics that help us understand why we fail to hear the voice of God. Two dynamics that help me to understand why at times I fail to hear the voice of God in my life. Two reasons why I have trouble hearing the voice of God. And the first dynamic that helps us all understand why we have trouble hearing God's voice plays right into our own spiritual laziness. Hearing the voice of God is work. It is work. Jesus emphasized this 6 times. In Matthew 11, 14 to 15, he was actually saying, "You know, if you accept John the Baptist as Elijah, then you're going to accept me as the Messiah, and all the kingdom promises are going to come true. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Jesus is saying, there are words being spoken, there's a message being given. Are you listening? You have to work at understanding this. In the parable of the sower and the four different soils that we see in Matthew 13, 19, Mark 4, 9, and Luke 8, 8, he talks about the stony soil, the soil where the seeds fall, where they wither and dry. Then there's the soil where the seeds sprout and the weeds grow up, and the good soil where the seeds, and he's saying, this is how it's like in the kingdom of heaven. This is, where is your heart? What is your heart like with the words I'm speaking to you? And he'll say, in each of these three instances, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Listen. listen and think about these words. In Mark 4:23, he talks about the cause and effect relationship of Bible study and how much you understand things spiritually. And he says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. In Luke 14:35, he talks about the salt losing its saltiness. That's a message even to the church to say, you know, you're supposed to be the salt of the world. You're supposed to bring flavor and hope and life into the world. Are you doing it, or have you lost your flavor? He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And then, if you're using the King James Version, there are seven. Mark 7:16. Now, a lot of people say, well, how come Mark 7:16? Isn't that like the New American Standard in the NIV? And I only bring this up quickly because this is a question that was brought to me just 2 weeks ago. How come some verses in the King James aren't found in certain other texts? And there's what they call the minority text, where all these versions that the translations come from are from codices and fragments from around 400 to 500 AD, whereas the King James Version was translated out of Hebrew and Greek texts, and there's so many more of them, from around 1200 to 1500 AD. So there's many more samples here with the King James Version with the majority text, and a lot fewer over here with the minority text. And so it becomes a choice that one makes as far as how they view things. I kind of like it's the telephone game. The closer you get to the first message, the closer it is to being the most accurate. So I kind of go with the New American Standard and New NIV. But that's not to say that what's in the King James Version is not good. I mean, I preached a message out of John 8, which isn't in the minority text. But I look at it and say, until there's more ways, more data to say something about it, I'm taking that as scripture. But that explains why sometimes in the New International Version and the New American Standard Version, you'll see some verses that just seem to be missing. It depends upon what group of manuscripts they translated from, earlier or later. But hearing the voice of God, I need help. It's going to be work. John 16, 12 through 14. When Jesus was praying at the very end, he said, and talking to his disciples, he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. That's the Holy Spirit, the helper that indwells all believers. And how does he make things known? Jesus said, I have more to say, but I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to die for your sins. But the Spirit will come, and he will speak to you. And he will not speak on his own. He will speak the words of God to you. Amen. He will tell you what is to come. He will make the will of Christ known. Part of that was in giving us the scriptures. But part of that is in answering prayer. When I pray, there are times I'm going to get my answers by reading the Bible, and sometimes I'm going to get the answers by God telling me something, giving me a word of wisdom. I should expect to hear the voice of God when I read the Bible. I should expect to hear the voice of God when I pray. I should expect when I pray for comfort, for Armin, when I pray for wisdom for Armin, when I pray for comfort for Jeff and Danny, I should expect the voice of God to work, to minister. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 13. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, nobody knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirits of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught to us by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Amen. It is normal for the believer in Christ to expect the Holy Spirit to speak to us in spiritual words. Michael Pence made a statement, our vice president, months ago about hearing the voice of God. And instantly, there was a firestorm against him. Oh, he hears voices. He talks to God. Isn't that ludicrous? And I'm sitting there going, I'm glad he does. I'm glad there's a voice of sanity in politics that God is talking to somebody in there. It's normal to hear spiritual truths taught to your hearts. If it's not going on right now, something's wrong with me. I should expect to hear the voice of God. In another book, 7 times it says, he who has an ear to hear, let him understand. That's in the book of Revelation. Revelation 2:7, to the church of Ephesus, return to your first love. He who has an ear to hear, let him understand. Listen up. You better not forget your first love, church in Ephesus and church here at Faith Bible Fellowship in 21st century United States, the world. Revelation 2:11, be faithful in persecution to the church in Smyrna. We heard about that last week with the church in Pakistan and Christians being persecuted there. He who has an ear to hear. I mean, that was a message that I'm sitting there going, we never hear things like that. It takes somebody that comes from Pakistan to come here and say, there's big persecution going on. Yeah. Revelation 2:17, repent from idolatry to the church of Pergamum, saying the same message to us. The idolatry we have over things and entertainment. He who has an ear to hear, let him understand. To the church at Thyatira, Revelation 2:29, repent from sexual immorality and cult activity. In Revelation 3:6, he who has an ear to hear, let him understand. Repent from spiritual death, the church at Sardis. Revelation 3:13, remember my return, church of Philadelphia. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And the church of Laodicea, you lukewarm believers. You know, be either hot or cold. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Understanding and listening to the voice of God, putting your time in here, putting your time in prayer to understand, is essential to hear the voice of God. It is work. But Jesus said, in relationship to the work you put into it, the Holy Spirit of God will reward you with spiritual understanding. One of the keys is just be persistent. In Matthew 7:7-12, we go through the whole ask, seek, knock, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. We don't have to read the text. It's so familiar. In Luke 18, Pastor Les referred to this just 3 weeks ago, the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18:1-8. About the widow who would go up to the judge who neither feared God nor man. And she pled his case and he said, no, go away, no, go away, no, go away, no, go away. Finally, she came to him so many times, he said, I fear neither God nor man, but this woman is going to wear me out. Okay, I'll give you what you want. Now, ladies, I'm not saying that you should do that with your spouses, you know. But it does kind of set a little precedent there, doesn't it? It's work. The gospel 6 times. Listen. Listen to what God is saying. You know, work at it. He who has ears to hear in Revelation 7 times. Listen. Work at it. And the lesson from Matthew and Luke, persist to hear the voice of God. Persist and don't give up. But things get in the way of hearing the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to examine the second dynamic, roadblocks to hearing the voice of God. And the first and biggest roadblock to hearing the voice of God is sin. Hebrews 3, 7 through 13 and 15. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion, during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my way. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. And then again, we go to verse 15. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Do you want to know that one of the easiest things to do? It's said three times here in this text. Three times. Do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. Amen. That comes from sin. A hard heart comes from taking sin and taking it into your life. What I have here is a can of thermoset resin. Being a polymers kind of guy, I thought this would be a good way to illustrate what's going on. This is how the Holy Spirit loves to have the heart of the believer. Soft, pliable. For those of you who have anything to do with cars, especially Mike Isom, if he were here, this is just plain old Bondo. Boy, and am I making a mess. And this is what the Holy Spirit wants in a heart. See how I can move that around? The Holy Spirit can say, okay, go here. Okay, this is what I want you to do. Okay, you're asking me a question? There's a why for yes. You're asking me a question. You want to know something? Ooh, here we go. There's an N for no. So our hearts are supposed to be pliable. Like if the paddle here is the Holy Spirit, our hearts are to be moldable. But what happens is sin comes in. This is the cross-linking catalyst that causes this to become hard. And Satan knows exactly what to put in each one of your hearts. For each one of us, it's different. Yeah. For some, it's lust. For some, it's anger. For some, it's envy. But I think for Satan, he knows that one of the universal things to put in your hearts to make your heart hard is anger. I heard that person's been talking about me. Well, what'd they say? Oh, something bad. And this hardening agent, sin, goes into the person's heart. Doesn't look like much at first. It's just a little glob. But then we mix that in, and sin becomes part of the heart. And it doesn't look like it's really doing anything, because we have a great ability to hide sin in our heart and pretend that everything's okay when it's not. I don't have a problem with this person. No, I've forgiven them. Everything is fine. I don't see any reason to repent. I don't see any reason to go to them and talk this out. Everything is fine. The world is fine. I think I'm good. And for a while, you might still look pliable to the Holy Spirit. Everything may look like everything is going well. So we'll give sin a chance to work in that and see what happens to it in just a few minutes. But hearts go astray as well. In the book of Revelation, there were five warnings about hearts that went astray, from immorality to idolatry to lukewarmness, different things where people's hearts just said, you know, I'm distracted. Sometimes it's just not making a point to know God's ways. Sometimes a person is saying, you know, I know I could make time to know your ways, but do you know how busy my life is? How much I've got to do? For me to actually get up early and get down on my knees and have 20 minutes of prayer in the day, that doesn't work in this lifestyle. I can't do that. Well, if you're not making it a point to know God's ways, He's not going to tell you. Remember what we already learned? The amount of work that you put into it will determine the results that you get. Jesus said that. He said, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." So what happens when sin is at work in the heart? Well, this looks like this is still pretty pliable. I think I'm going to have to add a little more sin. Maybe anger wasn't good enough for that person. We've got to get something else in here. A little bit of envy. Well, this is going to be bad if this is a science experiment gone awry. I'd go into a science lesson as to exactly what's happening in here, but that would be totally boring to most people. My wife says that I've got to watch how I get into technical explanations because she said it can get boring. But it fascinates me how the polymer chains will actually begin to link together. And if that doesn't work, the beauty of it is you will see me publicly humiliated. You'll be able to go home and say, if nothing else, I saw the preacher today get really flustered because his object lesson flopped. But a lot of times we're just not paying attention. And that's why we miss God's voice. A second big roadblock to hearing the voice of God, sometimes we're just hard of hearing spiritually. Voices. Do you know, there has to be a way for you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. But you see, we are filled with so much distraction that we can't hear things. 120 years ago, the only thing they had electronic was telegraph. No radio, no TV, no CDs, no DVDs, music. Our lives are just filled with music all the time. 120 years ago, if you wanted music, you were either a musician and you made it yourself, or you traveled a great distance to hear a concert. And it was a once or maybe twice a year event to hear music played. But now, it's quite different. Our world today, it has so much, and I know this is a shock to most of the young people. No video games back then. How did they survive? No cell phones back then. In 1956, when I was 3 years old, we got a TV. I mean, we were the last people on our street in Ripman to get a TV, but I can remember just going, oh, this is like alien technology coming to Earth. There is so much noise, people don't have a moment to think. What do? The first thing that we get into our cars, how many of us just sit in there and ride in the silence and think? Nope, first thing we do, got to have that on. Oh, then we've got the cell phones. Let's see what's going on the cell phone. Okay, got to have something going on here. Oh, here's something I should probably be watching. Okay, now I've got my cell phone going. Now TV, what about the TV? We've got to turn the TV on as soon as we're home. So let's turn on the TV and watch something.
Evasive Delta 5. Incoming fast. Fire all phasers. Damage report.
Warp drive's been knocked out. Never seen anything like it.
Weapons offline, main power 38%.
They're firing another.
All power to forward shield.
Enough! We fill our lives with so much junk. No wonder we can't hear the voice of God. You get in the car, the radio's on instantly. How can you expect to hear anything if the if you've got all that noise? The TV, you turn the TV on as soon as you... Where's the time for God to talk? That is a problem. Now, let's see if this has gone wrong. Oh, it's working. Here we go. It just needed a little more sin. That's all. Just remember when you're doing this, add a lot of sin. So now look at this heart. I can't do anything to it. I can't. That is a hardened heart. This is a heart that... How is God going to talk to that heart? How is God going to move in this heart that's so hard it just resists anything? That's what sin does to the human heart. When it talks about in Hebrews 13, don't harden your hearts. This is what happens when you don't repent. This is what happens when there's so much noise in your life, you don't have a moment to think about what's going on. Voices. We've got to sort them out. Now, this is one thing. We're going to get into an illustration now about voices. And Nicholas, if you would move those up here, please. My wife actually said when I first mentioned this to her, would you? Oh, no, wait, I've got shop rags right here. Boy, is that's propitious right there. Oh, I brought a laundry bag full of shop rags, having no idea I would have that resin on my fingers. Here we've got voices. Suzanne said, if you tell people in that church that you hear voices, they are going to think you are a certified nut. Yeah, I hear voices. I really do. A lot of voices I hear are like the voices here in this. These are different people's voices, recordings. These are all the socks that I keep in the basement. I can't find matches for. So I've got all these. We have no match for these things. What a waste. But I mean, here I hear my dad when I cut my finger. And I got mad at him when he said, oh, there's Pirate Pete who got his finger shot off by a cannonball. I can hear my dad's voice. I hear my mom's voice when I broke my tooth and she was saying, there, 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 there. And I kept wanting to say, where, where? I hear Anakin Skywalker saying, from my point of view, it's the Jedi who are evil. You know, I hear all kinds of voices. But when I hear these voices, it's always the voice of the other person. It's never my internal voice. It's always a recording I have in my mind of what the other person's voice is. Like Gail, you're in here. Yep, when I used to vacuum the house, I would always do it to Jethro Tull's Aqualung. You know, I hear that. I hear that in my, because I thought, that sounds, that's amusing. But here you see these three laundry baskets. All the voices I hear from these baskets always are in my internal voice. Now you'd say, I don't know about this. You're talking about hearing voices and all. Where would you get any real scriptural support about that? That sounds a little dicey there, Mike. Let's go to Romans 7. Romans 7, 21 to 25. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. So there's part of me that's, I agree with what God says, and I'm a slave to him, but another part of me, because I'm not glorified yet and I have sin in my heart, I still listen to the old man, the sinful man at times. It's a goofy way to make it clear, but this is kind of what we have. We've got good Mike and we've got bad Mike. Good Mike says, you know, okay, you know, let's, you know, let's make sure our family is at church all the time and attend and have regular prayer. But then we've got bad Mike. Bad Mike says, yeah, but you know, when you're at church, you can still have a little fun. Well, what's that? Have Joseph wear the same shirt as long as he can and see if Suzanne notices. See how long it'll go. Some of you know what this shirt is. Yeah, Joseph wore this for 3 months. Every Sunday. At about the 3 month mark, Suzanne went, I know what you're doing. But that's, we've got a war going on. There's this person who wants to do good and this person who's always got something bad going on in his mind. And that's within me. They're talking to me. And I have to fight that constantly. And in the bad section, there's something that even the French have a name for it. And this is where it's called l'appel du vide, the call of the void. And I hear this voice when I am being hunted by Satan, when I am being oppressed by a dark spirit.
True story, right there.
Yep. I hear that voice. The last time I heard it, I was driving from work home, and the voice said, there's an oncoming cement truck. Pull right into it. It'll all be over in 3 seconds. And I sat there and I went, oh, no! Thankfully, the Holy Spirit was like, no! Because, see, that was just the good me. But the good thing is, in this basket, where all the white towels are, that's the Holy Spirit who comes in to say, no! I can be sitting there washing dishes, and I'm washing the kitchen knife that I have just washed, and this thought will come into my mind. It's sharp. Drive it into your chest right now. And I know who's doing that. That is of Satan. No! Yes. Do you know? There is spiritual warfare that goes on. I mean, that is so common. There is a name for it. L'appel du vide, the call of the void. Now, I was really worried about talking about that, but I'm glad I got some people to respond, because I'm sitting there going, what if I'm the only person in here that hears? But this came up at work. I don't know how. I was in a room with people, and I just said, I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to throw this out and see what happens. And as soon as I said it, half the people in there just went, you hear that too? Sure. I think a lot of people hear it, times hear it. And when you do, you have to say, I am being hunted. There is a force of darkness hunting me, just like a hunter would go after a deer and is sitting there in a deer stand waiting to put the deadly dart right into it. You are being hunted, and the first thing you should do is say, I need to get somewhere where I can pray because I need protection. That is what goes on. And what you need to hear, what we want to hear, what we long to hear, is this. The Holy Spirit. And the believer has every reason to believe he's going to talk to us, but we've got to plow the ground and make it ready. Get rid of all the distraction, and there's got to be a time where it's quiet, where you're listening. Common. It's the verse you know I'm going to. Some of you are already there because you know I know where he's going next. He's going to go to 1 Kings 19, where it talks about the still, quiet voice of God that Elijah heard. The Lord said, 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13, the Lord said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Why does God use a soft, quiet voice? Well, I mean, the earthquake sounds pretty impressive to me. A big fire, I mean, wouldn't that get your attention? Whoa! How compelling is that? He uses a small voice, the same reason I use one. This just happened last week. We're at the house. I know this never happens at your houses, but it was like a pile of dishes that would have been like Mount Everest. And Suzanne looked at it and just went, huh. So I said, okay, I'll ask Joseph to do it. So... I know. It's so good having kids. So I went downstairs and I said, hey, Joseph, there's a lot of dishes up there. It would really help me out if you could do those, and it would really help out Mom. And I turned around and I came upstairs. And Suzanne said, that was it? No! Tell him he's coming up. He's got to do these. I said, No. I want to see what's in his heart. If I just tell him, then I don't know what's in his heart. I want him to know that there's something I need him to do to help me. I want to see how he chooses. Do you think God doesn't treat us the same way? That's the way it works with salvation. If God showed up in all of his power and glory right now, every non-believer in the world would fall on their knees and say, I submit. But they would submit out of just coercion and power. That's not what God wants. He's saying, I want to see what's in your heart. Without me screaming and yelling at you and telling you what to do, I want to see, will you do it? So I'm going to make salvation a gift. And I'm going to say, I'm going to make it so easy a kid can understand it. You know, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You don't have to go to the lake of fire to pay the penalty for your sins. He's letting you go to heaven because he loves you. And he bore that penalty himself. His son, Jesus, and on the cross, he's offering you forgiveness as a free gift. Would you like that gift? And then God looks, what do you do? Do you say, I need that. Thank you so much. Or I can do things myself. Maybe someday. It shows what's in the heart. That's why salvation isn't enforced by God. He wants to see what's in your heart. So the still and gentle voice, that's what I want to hear. And sometimes I get answers I don't understand. I had a car I was going to buy for Nicholas. I was ready to go down to Laria in Ripman and purchase the thing. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, I've done my research. This looks like a good vehicle. I mean, do you think I should do this? And it was just one word, wait. I was like, I've really looked at it, and it seems like a good price. Wait. That's all I got. That was a month ago. I'm waiting. And sometimes, it says, a believer has to wait on the Lord. Sometimes waiting means, I don't understand, but I'm waiting.
That's right.
I'm in a situation, a transitional situation right now. I don't know what's going to happen at work. I drove past a place this week, and I think the still, quiet voice said, check there. So I did, and they had a position open exactly like mine. I applied, but so far nothing. So I'm waiting. But I know time enough in the presence of God, and you know this from this. And you know it from this because it's such a different color. You can tell the difference. It is discernment. Now, I hear the voice of God at any time, but most of the time, between 4:10 and 4:30 in the morning, in my basement, in my set prayer time. That's when I hear him mostly. That's where he said, do laundry baskets. That's where he said, use the Bondo. If I don't hear that, I don't use object lessons, because otherwise it's just entertainment. I'm not going to sit up here and entertain. But if it's something that can point to how God works in a way that helps me and other people understand, that's from God. That's from this basket right here. And the only way you can tell is you've got to put the time in to be able to tell the difference. Because these three voices, when you hear them in your head, they are your internal voice. You can't tell. It's just how I sound in my own mind. But after a while, you get to know, oh. So the voice of God is out there, waiting to be heard. Do you have ears to hear? I mean, the voice of God is out there waiting. Are you persistent? The voice of God can be blocked too. I mean, is there a hardened heart? Or a heart gone astray that needs to be addressed? And the voice of God can be drowned out. Radios constantly. This thing constantly. TV constantly. When Jesus Christ wanted to talk to God privately, what did he do? Early in the morning, quiet, lonely, secluded place. Man in the basement at 4 in the morning. Nobody wants to be in our basement at 4 in the morning. I have absolute privacy. And I have absolute time. Do you have a place you meet with God daily? Are you seeking his voice? Let's close in prayer. Father, we want to hear your voice, but it takes work. It takes time. But you've assured us that the amount of time that you put into it, there are rewards. And Father, it takes time to be able to discern. So Father, I'd ask that people here would say, okay, I want that. I want to be able to go to the laundry basket where everything is all white towels and the voice of the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to hear that. Then set a time. Say right now, I commit before you, Lord. I am setting a private time every day, even if I've got to get up early. Oh, it's going to hurt. Yes, it's sacrifice. And I am going to be quiet before you. Just like Jesus always went to a quiet, lonely, desolate place for the most intimate conversations with God, I am going to go to a quiet, lonely, desolate place so I can have a conversation with you. I'd ask that those commitments would start tomorrow morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.